is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. We go to our colleague in Europe, Teresa Fallon, watching the economy of Europe for us very carefully, because there's a headline in The Guardian, for example. Investor confidence in the EU drops after Trump's Brussels trade deal. We could write a similar headline about investor confidence after the EU conversation with China. We'll begin with the overall feeling in Europe this summer of tariff turmoil and direct challenge by the People's Republic of China to the economy of Europe. Teresa, a very good day to you. I want to generalize for both directions. Brussels dealing with Washington and Brussels dealing with Beijing. Is there a mood change? Are there doubts? Because the FT out of London, I mentioned, has been reporting routinely about investors moving their money to European markets to benefit from the rise in the bourses. So what is the overall understanding of Beijing and Washington this summer in Europe? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John and Gordon. Delighted to be with you. I would describe it as a strategic triangle between Brussels, the U.S., and China. They had the EU-China summit. There were very low expectations. The leak by Kaya Kallas, the EU High Representative, that China was supporting Russia, that Wang Yi made these comments in private, and that they didn't want to see Russia lose the war, had a huge impact, in my view. When the Chinese actually limited the meeting to one day in Beijing. They treated them very shabbily. They put all of the officials on one bus. They had no VIP cars. Everyone was just kind of trundled in on a bus. The meeting did not produce anything but a very watered down statement on climate that the Chinese had written. So immediately after that disastrous summit in Beijing, but nevertheless, the Europeans held their position. They didn't give in to the Chinese on kind of the blackmail of rare earths, which both the U.S. and Europe are under this heavy leverage from Beijing. So she went to Trump's golf course in Scotland. And
this is Ursula von der Leyen.
The president of the EU Commission met with Donald Trump right before the deadline that he had set for 30% tariffs. So you could say that they've reached a detente. So it's been agreed for 15%. And she was immediately criticized for this. But there has been very little detail on this entire deal. There's nothing written down, and it's kind of very unclear what this means. And we've seen this kind of replicated in other areas. For example, in Japan, when the minister asked to see the agreement in writing, the Trump administration wouldn't do that. So it may be rather fragile. It's just kind of a handshake. And also, Donald Trump yesterday, I saw an interview with him saying that the Europeans had agreed to $600 billion in investment. But the European leaders say that, you know, that's up to private industry. That's a good area for them to invest in. You know, they're trying to use a bit of a charm offensive with Trump. And then Donald Trump yesterday said that the Europeans have been ripping us off for so many years. It is time for them to pay up, and that he would choose what the Europeans would invest in. And it's really unclear, you know, how long this detente will last. So the devil's always in the detail, but you know, they just have a nice meeting in Thornbury, his golf course, and it's really unclear what they've reached except 15%. The other sticky issue here is sectoral areas, because Donald Trump said, okay, overall 15%, but I will choose what the tariffs will be on steel. I will choose what the tariffs will be on the pharmaceutical industry. So there's a lot of chaos. And in Europe, they're unclear. Governments are concerned what this means. For example, Northern Ireland has 10% because the UK got a 10% tariff, and the Republic of Ireland is under 15%. So there's a lot of uncertainty. They're afraid that Donald Trump could change his mind any day and bump it up if he's angry with another government in Europe. So there's really a great deal of uncertainty about where this is going to go. And no one can really wait 3.5 years for the end of the Trump presidency. They know they have to deal with this. And it's causing a lot of consternation. And, you know, people were saying we're being vassalized by the U.S. And at the same time, they have concerns that China, since the U.S. Economy is closed to Chinese exports because of the high tariff rates or limit, not closed, but it's harder for China to dump their overcapacity, for example, in electric vehicles in the U.S. Europe is bracing for this tsunami of items that will be dumped in Europe instead, because Europe is far more open to Chinese goods than various sectors in the U.S.
Teresa Fallon is director of the Center for Russia, Europe, Asia Studies in Brussels. Gordon, you have a question for Teresa.
Teresa, another part of this deal, which Europe does have control over, is the purchase of U.S. energy. It's been reported that as part of the deal with the U.S., that Europe would buy $750 billion worth of U.S. energy during President Trump's term. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I think that for Trump supporters in the energy industry, that was, they were very happy to hear that. But from what I understand, you know, it all is depends on the price of oil, because these would be LNG exports, liquefied natural gas. And there's a limited area of ports in Europe to accept LNG. For example, Germany built two temporary floating ones, which they've been using because of their over-reliance on Russian energy. They needed to build these very, very quickly. And they have diversified their contracts. They get LNG from Qatar, for example. They get it from the U.S. So the Trump administration has kind of been encouraging Europe to buy more to help balance the trade. And I think Ursula von der Leyen, in her meeting with Donald Trump, was very open to this. So the question is, can the U.S. deliver? That's a lot of LNG, and it really depends on the price of oil. If the price of oil is high, then it's useful to, you know, use fracking to export liquefied natural gas. If the price of oil is low, it won't be very economic for the U.S. So there's limits on that, and it will be interesting to see how much the U.S. can actually produce. So I think the Europeans are, you know, agreed, and I think that was a positive thing Trump liked from the discussions with Ursula von der Leyen.
Teresa, a detail. Is the conversation in Europe informed that the courts now have a decision to make sometime in these next weeks about whether the president does or does not have the authority he's assumed about setting tariffs day to day? Is that part of the conversation that we're waiting for first the Court of Appeals and then eventually the Supreme Court to rule on that matter?
Well, I think that we're in August now, and everyone is just glad to have gone on vacation. They've all left. So I know the Financial Times has reported on that, which is kind of the Bible for most of the policymakers here in Europe. So I think that that will definitely be on their radar, that's how the U.S. government sees this, because it feels, I heard a prominent European economist describe the psychology of surrender. You know, they just feel like Donald Trump is telling them, you must surrender and do what I tell you to do and pay these tariffs.
We have 30 seconds, Teresa. 30 seconds.
That creates a lot of backlash and animosity at a time when the U.S. really needs to work with its partners in the transatlantic space to work together to further the goals of, you know, improving the situation with China, as they see China as a security threat. So I think that this psychology of surrender and kind of forcing Europeans in a very uncomfortable position might actually backfire eventually on the Trump administration.
Teresa Fallon, director of the Center for Russia, Europe, Asia Studies in Brussels. Gordon Chang, I'm John Batchelor.